Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a day of learning at the yeshiva, and welcome back to so many of you who are alumni of the yeshiva. This is an idea that is a long time coming, and Mirtz Hashem will continue to grow and grow. We are trying to take many more opportunities to invite the community, but specifically the alumni, to be able to be back in the yeshiva, to be able to learn with the Rosh Yeshiva and the faculty. My name is Rabbi Menachem Penner. I'm serving as the Dean of REITs. I want to welcome Joel Schreiber, who is the Chairman of the Board of REITs, and always comes to everything. Thank you very much. And to everybody who is here today, a very big thank you to the Center for the Jewish Future, who provided so much of the technical backup to get this day going. Rabbi Yaakov Glasser, Nechama Cohen, Yoni Cohen, Aryeh Charka, Susie Schwartz from alumni, Rabbi Uri Orlian, Chazki Naor, Ari Weitz, Aliza Berenholtz, and the staff outside, Shirley and Sharon and Chad. I mentioned to the Talmidim yesterday on the last day of Hanukkah that the Rambam makes clear that the menorah had to stay lit 8 days because that's how long it would take to get Shemen Tahor. They always ask, why the first day, the Beis Yosef's Kasha, why is it that, but why did it last the full 8 days? Because that's how long it would take to keep the menorah going. The menorah didn't burn for 8 days. It burned miraculously for 8 days. And then they kept burning. Then they had the Shemen in order to be able to keep it going. And one of the powerful ideas of Chanukah, the end of Chanukah, is to talk about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a very, very special gift to uplift us during the 8 days of Hanukkah. And the 8 days of Hanukkah are about the Torah Shebaal Peh, and about learning, and about being inspired. And then, the day after Hanukkah, we have to go back to doing it ourselves. The lights don't go out the day after Hanukkah. We don't stop with the religious inspiration day after Hanukkah, put in the extra effort. We crush the olives ourselves. We go back to work. We use that inspiration in order to go forward. It worked out well. I've been told that today is some sort of a holiday, and that therefore people had a good opportunity to learn today. And I want to give everybody a shkoach and a welcome. Today's first shiur, we're going to discuss today so many inyanei Eretz Yisrael. Should be a zchus, should be a merit for Achenu Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. We should have peace in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to learn today about many different topics in Yoni Eretz Yisrael. Of course, this year is a very, very special year, a year of learning, a year to focus on spirituality, not just for a day, but a special opportunity that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us to have a year to be able to spend focused on Shemitah. For the opening shiur, which is sponsored, we thank by Yehuda Molge, and we want to thank all of the sponsors of today's shiurim. Mrs. Dori Adler and Emmanuel and Helen Adler, Rabbi Hai and Ann Arbisfeld, Avi and Rivka Fedegrin, and again, Yehuda Molge. It's our pleasure, our schus, to be able to call for the first shiur, Rabbeinu, Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita.
Thank you very much. Just yesterday I got a phone call. A man from Flatbush called me up on the phone. He's going to visit his children in Eretz Yisrael. And he has one son who is going to, this is Shnas HaShemitah, one son is going to buy Oitzah Bezen food, and the other son buys Hatim Chira food. And he thought he was going to eat by both of the children. They're both religious children. So his son, who's the Haredi son, who's going to eat Oitzah Bezen, told him that his rabbi at Kepaskin, that he's not permitted to eat even if his other son will accommodate him. The Hetta Mechira son is going to accommodate him and buy Oitzah Bezen food, but he's going to cook it in his treifa pots. He's going to cook it in the pots where he cooked his Hetta Mechira food. So the rabbi of the Haredi son told his balabatim that you're not allowed to eat kosher food that's cooked in treifa pots, so he can't eat by the other son. So he wanted to know, what do I think? So I'd like to explain a little bit what this is all about. A lot of people don't know what in the world is going on. When it comes to Sukkot following Shnas HaShemitah, so there are going to be advertisements in the newspaper. Years ago, a Yiddish newspaper came out every day. So always on the Sukkot following Shnas HaShemitah, there would be two advertisements on the same page. One advertisement would be put in by the Mizrahi, and they would say that Rabbi Soloveitchik said, this year is every year, one should buy an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael, and even though the last year was a Shemitah year, it doesn't pose a problem, you should still support Eretz Yisrael. The other advertisement on the same page would say that the Satmar Rebbe said that because last year was a Shemitah year, so you're not allowed to eat the Esrogim, and therefore you can't use an Israeli Esrog this Sukkot, because the Gemara has a din that the Esrog is called pre-Eitz Hodor. Pre means Yesh Baheter Achila, has to be kosher. So because the last year was a Shemitah year, in other words, this year, the next Sukkot, you're going to have an Esrog that grew this year. So the Esrog is treif, and a treif Esrog is not acceptable for the mitzvah of Dalin Minim. Has to be Yesh Baheter Achila. So what is this all about? What do you mean? The food that grows in Shemitah and Eretz is treif. It says in the Chumash, Voice in Shabbos Oretz Lechem Liochla. It's a mitzvah. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he lists off which, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban disagrees here and there. He deletes certain mitzvahs of the Rambam's listing, so he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. You have to add up to 248 mitzvahs essay and 365 mitzvahs lois essay. So the Ramban has a list of mitzvahs shishoch acharav, a list of mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to mention. One of them is this mitzvah, a mitzvah to eat perishvies. So it's a question exactly what the Ramban means like by that. So the Megillas Esther is the standard commentary printed on the side of the page of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Megillas Esther understood the Ramban literally kipshuta, that there's a mitzvah essay to eat peris that grew in Eretz Yisrael. And Shemitah, and some even add on, that just like on Pesach night, before you eat the matzah, you say the two brachas, you say Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and then you say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvah Yisov, Mitzivanu V'al Achilas Matzah, you say Brachas HaMitzvah. Or if a Kohen eats Truma, so he says Bori Pri Agofen, let's say it's wine of Truma, he says, or Bori Mirim Zaynes, he has some cookies from Truma, says a bracha, then he says Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushas HaShalar Mitzivanu V'al Achilas Truma. First you say Brachas HaNen, and then you say Brachas HaMitzvah. So there were those who understood according to the Ramban, that when you eat the banana that grew in Shnas HaShemitah and Eretz Yisrael, you say two brachas, say Bar Pi Adam the Brichas Anen, and then you say bracha Shekedeshanu B'Mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu Al Achilas Perish Vias, that it's literally a mitzvah. Others say that the Megillah Esther misunderstood. The Ramban didn't mean to say that it's a mitzvah. He meant it's an Iser Asay. Hoyse Shabbos Hoyse Lechem Liochle. We'll talk about it. This pasuk implies that there are restrictions, because the peris that grow in Shnas HaShemitah and Eretz Yisrael Kedusha, so there are certain restrictions and limitations, but not that he meant that it's a mitzvah to eat the perish v'is. But I'll call upon him, everybody agrees, it says in the Chumash, you're permitted to either, it's a mitzvah to eat it, or it's permissible. How did it all of a sudden become treif? How do people have this attitude that the peris that grow in Shnas HaShemitah and Eretz Yisrael are treif? So the explanation is the following. In Eretz Yisrael this year, they're selling three different types of peris in the store. They'll be selling Het HaMechira, they'll be selling Yivul Nachri, whatever grew on an Arab farm. Then they'll be selling Oitz HaBezel. We're going to have to explain what that's all about. So Het HaMechira runs as follows. People mistakenly think that Rabbi Cook, the first chief rabbi, was the one who invented the Het HaMechira. He didn't invent the Het HaMechira. Het HaMechira is from the 1600s. The farmers weren't making a parnasa. The Jewish farmers weren't making a parnasa in the 1600s. And if they wouldn't work during the Shnas HaShemitah, they would absolutely be broke. They would have to live off of charity. So the Sfardish Gedolim at that time, there were no Ashkenazim in Eretz, there were only Sfardim. So the Sfardish Gedolim at that time came up with this Het HaMechira. And then in the late 1800s, when the Jews started moving back to Eretz Yisrael and making colonies, so the Shaila came up. So some of the Rabbanim at that time said they can rely. It was a tremendous Shas HaTchak. If they wouldn't do any of Avodas HaKark and Shnas HaShemitah, they would have to rely on charity from all over the world, which they takadu. Some of them for years they did rely on tzedakah from all over the world. So it was such a big shas hatchak. So many gedolim at that time said they should rely on this kula from the 1600s, Het HaMechira. And then when the badatz, the bezdin and Yerushalayim, from the Eidah Haredes, told the balabatim not to rely on Het HaMechira, and it was a disaster that year in the Maskeret Batya. In the first religious issue that they had, first the religious farm that they had. So the Badats themselves told the Balabatim, next Shemitah you better rely on Het HaMechira, because this time it was a disaster. But they said, we don't want to touch it. Go to the Rav in Yafo, he'll make you a Het HaMechira. So the Rav in Yafo was a fine Rav. I forgot his name. He was the one who published, he knew Kabbalah. He was the one who published the Siddur HaGro with the comments. When he passed away, and they hired Rav Kook came from Europe to serve as the Rav in Yafo, so that fell in his lap. Whoever is the rabbi in Yafo has to do the Het HaMechira. Like whoever is the rabbi in Young Israel Flatbush has to take care of the Erev in Flatbush. Whoever is the rabbi in the Jewish center has to take care of the Erev in Manhattan. That's part of the job. So this was part of the job. So Rav Kook had to take care of the Het HaMechir. He wasn't so thrilled about it himself. The truth of the matter is, most of the poskim really don't hold for the Het HaMechir. It's a very shvach heter, but that's an issue for the farmers. Are they allowed to do avodas hakarka? They're allowed to work the farms in the Shnas HaShmita. Shaila is, what about, we're not farmers, we're the consumers. So what is the relevance of, if you want to be machmer, not to hold from the Het HaMechira? Most of the classical poskim didn't go for the Het HaMechira. So how is that relevant as far as the consumers is concerned? So there's a Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Tosfos and the last daf in Yevamos. Rabbeinu Tam interprets in the Gemara that Meshumar is also Bachila. One of the laws of Shemitah is that you're supposed to be mafkir all of the pears that are growing in the field. The people have no right to come to my farm and have a picnic on the farm. They have a right to come in to take the pears and to leave. Not that the whole farm is hefker, the pears are hefker, and they have a right to come into the farm for the purpose of taking the pears. And so the farmer is supposed to open up the gates of the farm to let everybody, Hashviz, Tishmetenu, and Atashta, supposed to open up the gates of the farm to let all of the public take all of the pears to eat it. If you don't open, so these farmers rely on the Het HaMechira, so they keep the gates locked, so they don't allow anybody to come and eat the pears. So Rabbeinu Tam interprets in the Gemara, and a small group of Rishonim agree with him, that Meshumar is also Bachila. If the farmer violated the din, that he didn't allow the public to take the pears, so there's a penalty that you're not, a penalty with the Rabbanim, that you're not allowed to eat those pears. Meshumar, if you weren't mafkid pears, you're not allowed to eat it. So if so, so the farmers are relying on Het HaMechira, so that's their issue, whether they're doing right or wrong. But as far as the consumer is concerned, now we have a problem. If I don't like the Het HaMechira, so then the farmer violated the din of being mafkid pears, so then I'm not allowed to eat them. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer that Mikra Din, we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Most of the Rishonim do not accept his pshat in the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim hold that Meshumar is Mutar Bachila. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik both added on. Rav Moshe Feinstein has this in the end of his first volume, Chelek Orachaim and Igros Moshe. So he writes the same as Rav Soloveitchik explained. Even if one should follow the Rabbeinu Tam and hold that you're not allowed to eat the Peir Shviyas, because the farmers weren't mafkirit, Das Hotten Sitton with Esrig. Esrig, the din is, if you have an Esrig, Shem Baheter Achila, if it's a Trefa Esrig, if it's a non-kosher Esrig, then you can't use it for the mitzvah of Shemitah. Here, it's not that the Esrig is also Bachila. If I'm going to eat the Esrig that the farmer wasn't mafkir, it's as if I'm in cahoots with the farmer, as if I also put up the fence. If I don't eat the Esrig, so it's the farmer's violation that he kept the fences locked. If I eat the Esrig, I'm joining in the Isser of being Mishama the Peris. But that it doesn't mean that the Esrig is treif. It means if you eat the Esrig, it's indirectly a violation of not being Mafke the Peris. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein both said the same thing. That's not called Ein Bo Heter Achila. The Gemara says that if you have an Esrig which is treif, an Esrig Shalorla, it's non-kosher, that cannot be used for the mitzvah of Adalamina. But over here, even if one assumes like the Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't mean that the Esrig is treif. It means you're not allowed to eat it, because by eating it, you will indirectly be involved in keeping the gates up. So this is the one issue regarding buying the Peir Shviyas. Another issue is, there's a question how to read the Rambam. We have sometimes penalties with the Rabbanon. One is not permitted to cook food on Shabbos. What if a person went ahead and he did cook the food? Hamavashal b'Shabbos. So we have Dinim and the Gemara, three different opinions in the Tanoim. Ramei, Rab Yudah, Rab Yechanan Sandler, what's the din? Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'Mezid. Someone violated the laws of Shabbos, so sometimes there's a penalty with the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos, after Shabbos. All discussion what the case happens to be. So on Chol HaMoed, also a din, if a person violated some of the laws of Chol HaMoed, he planted something on Chol HaMoed and he had no heter to, so he has to yank it out, there's a penalty. The Gemara has a whole list of situations where they made penalties midirabbanan. The Gemara in Gittin, Perek HaNizokin, they made penalties midirabbanan for a person who violated. And he said, the rice, he said, the rabbi, aim about the nisul lachatrila, if he mixed in treifas into kosher food in such a way that you have shishim in its bottle, so that you did it on purpose, so that you vatal iser b'mezid, so as osir l'mishan asa b'shvilo, you're not allowed to eat it, the one on whose b'yef it was mixed in is not allowed to eat it, penalties. So here there's a question, how to read the Rambam. Is there a penalty by ne'evad? If the farmers rely on the hetem mechir, that's their eser. I don't want to rely on the heter mechir, so I'm not doing the work on the farm. So here are the two ways to read the Rambam. Did the Rambam really make a statement to say that ne'evad, if the farmer violated the iser, so there's a penalty, no one's allowed to eat that food? In the Gemara, you don't have such a penalty. So there's a dispute among the commentaries on the Rambam whether the Rambam said such an iser. So again, the Chazon Ish writes, Me'ikir Adin, we paskin like Rov HaPaskin, that there is no penalty of ne'evad. There is no such din. There's room to be machmer. Okay, there's a midas chasidus not to eat meshumer, not to eat peris that the farmer was not mafker, and there's a midas chasidus to be choshish for the minority opinion not to eat neva, not to eat peris that the farmer violated the isurim and he planted it and whatever he did, the malachas sakarka, that would not be permissible. There's room to be machmer over here, but to make it that's the ikar adin. That's not the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin, the Chazon Ish, is the world's biggest machmer. The Chazon Ish says, Ikar Adin, we paskin that Meshumer is mutter, Ikar Adin, we paskin that Ne'evad is mutter. They quote in all the Torah journals that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to tell the Talmidim, he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah. So in the Yeshiva, they didn't want to rely on Heter Mechira as a matter of policy. But he told the Talmidim, when you go home and your parents rely on Heter Mechira, don't give them a hard time. Ikar Adin, that's the halacha, that Meshumer is mutter. And never is mutter, so they shouldn't be machma. If you want to be machma on your own cheshbon, not to give your parents a hard time. But to say, Amidas Chasidus, the rabbi tells his balabatim, not only are you not allowed to eat meshumah, you're not allowed to eat nevad, you're not, even if your brother cooks kosher perishvias, in a pot that has a blia from perishvias, so the blia asas, the treif of blia asas, it's not treif, the din of cooking in a trefa pot is only if macholas asur is cooked in the pot. If you cook non-kosher food in the pot, we have a din of tam ki ikar. Not only the non-kosher food may not be eaten, if it's mixed into something else and you have a roiv against it, roiv is not enough, you have to have shishin. Because as long as it's nice and tam, as long as it gives off a flavor, or if you cooked in a pot trefis and then you washed out the pot, now you got to cook kosher food in the pot. So tam ki ikar, the trefa bli in the pot, is going to come out and make also the kosher food that you're going to cook. But the food, even if you hold that the meshumer is osa, it's not macholas asuras. Even if you hold that nebet is osa, it's not macholas asuras. It's a penalty that you shouldn't eat it. So you don't eat shishim over here. People get carried away with chumers. There is another din. The pasuk in Parshas Bahar says, "Vikidash them." The laws of Yovel are the same as the laws of Shemitah, and has, as far as these dinim are concerned, the same. Not allowed to do avodas akarka. And the Paris have Kedusha. So the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem Ishnasah Hanishim Shona. The Bezin has the obligation to declare that Ishnasah Yovel has Kedusha. The Ishnasah Shemitah has Kedusha by itself. You don't need V'kidashtem. Shemitah rolls on by itself. You don't need a Bezin. Today we don't have any Bezin in Eretz Yisrael counting the years. And Shemitah becomes Mikudish by itself, like Shabbos Bereshis. Like Shabbos happens by itself. Yontav doesn't happen by itself. So that's an issue. How do you have Yamim Tovim today? We don't have any Bezin declaring Rosh Chodesh. So the Rishonim talk about that. But Yovel needs the Kiddush Mishnasah Hamishim Shana. The Bezin has to declare that it's Shnasah Yovel. And then it says, Kodesh Tiyah Lachem. It already said that Shnasah Yovel is Kodesh. Why does it say a second time Kodesh? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Kodesh Tiyah Lachem refers to the Peris. The Peris have Kedushas Perish Shviz. What's the relevance of the Kedushas Perish Shviz? So the relevance is this pasuk, Vayis Shabbos Horatz Lachem Liochlo, because the Perish Shviyas and because the Perish that Grom Shnas HaYovel have Kedusha, so you have to eat it in a special way. So again, the Megillas Esther, the commentary on side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, understood within the Ramban that there's a mitzvah essay to eat the Perish Shviyas. When you eat the Perish Shviyas, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, and some say you should say the second bracha, Shekadishanam Esosim Tzimana Alachilas Perish Shviyas. Even if you say not so, The Gemara learns that. The Tanoim learn that from the word liochla v'lo lehefsit. You're not allowed to throw out. You're not allowed to waste perishvis. What it means is the following. You're not allowed to waste any food. There's a din of baltashkes all year long. Why is it special on Shnas HaShmita? So the answer is like this. Let's say they give me, I go to a restaurant, and they give me such a big steak. They want to charge five times as much. If they give me such a big steak, I'll get sick and I'm going to eat so much. And they give me so much vegetable salad, it's not shy to eat so much. So I have an issue about baltashkes. What's going to be? They're not going to put it away in the refrigerator. My shirat, they're not going to give it to the next customer. They're going to throw it out in the garbage. So it's a baltashkes on the leftover. But it's a baltashkes de gufa. It's baltashkes on my body. If I'm going to eat it, I'm going to stuff myself to eat more. I don't want to eat so much. So the Gemara says, if it's a toss-up between the baltashkes on the food and baltashkes on my body, baltashkes de gufa odif. That's more important. You shouldn't stuff yourself. If you ate enough, you don't want to eat more. The mothers always insisted, baltashkes, make sure you finish eating. Yeah, okay, it's baltashkes. But if it's unhealthy to stuff yourself, so there's no baltashkes. Baltashkes de gufa is more important than the baltashkes on the fruits or the vegetables or the leftovers. However, if it's perishvias, if they give me vegetables or fruits or something that have kedushas perishvias, so then the halacha says, li'ochla v'lo lehefsid. You're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. So what are you going to do? You have to put it in the refrigerator. And then tomorrow, I'm going to eat the leftovers. Tomorrow, I want to eat fresh vegetables. So I'm going to bite the, put, when I'm going to leave over tomorrow, I'm bite the, going to put in the refrigerator. You're going to have a refrigerator full of leftovers. So the din is, you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, but you're not mechuyev to preserve it forever. You're not mechuyev to put it in the refrigerator to keep it for longer, but you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. So they have what they call a pach shel shviyas, a garbage can where they put in the perish shviyas. Some of the Rabbanim point that it's not proper to call it a pach shel shviyas. There's a regular garbage can where you throw the dirty diapers and the eggshells and all the junk, mamish garbage, and then you have another garbage can for perish shviyas, a garbage can for perish shviyas. They should call it perish shviyas, a kedushas perish shviyas, instead of calling it a pach, a garbage can for perish shviyas, call it a more dignified losh. But lemaisa, that's what they have. So you have a plastic bag. And whenever you leave over whatever vegetables or fruits that have kedushas perishes, leave over, you're not mechuyev to preserve it forever, to put it in the freezer, to put it in the refrigerator. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage to waste it. There's an added isab, in addition to the regular din of baltashkes that applies all 7 years. Special din over here, liochel of alola hefsid, you're not allowed to throw it out. So you have to save it till it becomes nifsal ma'achila. If you keep it a couple of days out of the refrigerator, you're not mechuyev to put it in the refrigerator, but you have to keep it until it becomes ein aroi l'achilas adam, until it's not fit for human consumption, and then it no longer has the kedushas perish shviyas. So that's it. That's a problem. That's a problem. You can't leave over perish shviyas. You have to figure out exactly how much you plan to eat and put that on a plate. A lot of people have a habit. They take five times as much as they plan to eat, and then they leave everything over. So it's not right all 6 years. But in Shnas HaShmita, it's b'miuchad, it's an issa. So you have to be careful. Li'ochle v'lo lehefsid. One of the several dinim, Rashi quotes one of the dinim of Kedushas Perish Shviyas is, it's called Kodesh, just like Hegdish is Teifis is Domov, so to Perish Shviyas are topsim demeim. What it means is, if somebody has Perish Shviyas and he sells it to me, so the money that I pay him for the perish shviyas becomes nitvas b'kedushas perish shviyas. The perish remain kodesh, and the money that I paid him also becomes kodesh b'kedushas perish shviyas. What do you mean kodesh b'kedushas perish shviyas? He's supposed to eat the money. He can't eat the money. No, he's supposed to take the money and buy some kind of food or another, some kind of food, and eat it before the shas habiur of that particular fruit or vegetable that I ate. What is shas habiur about? So shas habiur is based on a pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Chumash that in Shnas HaShmita, all the food is hefker for the people, for the people and for the animals to eat. So the Tanoim understood from the Pasuk, it's a question, the Ramban is not sure whether this is a real drasha gemura deraisa, or perhaps it's only an asmachta mid rabbanan, but the Tanoim formulated such a din in the Mishnayis and in Taurus Kohanim, calls man that this particular min, this particular fruit or vegetable is still available on the farm for the animals to eat, then you're allowed to continue eating, let's say, bananas. So kozma, there are bananas on the tree that the animals can eat, and you can continue eating bananas of shmita that you have in the house. But kol lechayim in asadif, there's no longer any bananas on the farm, and no longer any cucumbers on the farm, for the behemoth and the chayisti, then kalele behemtochem and abayis, then you're not allowed to eat whatever cucumbers or whatever bananas you have in the house. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have long lists. Every fruit, the vegetable, has a different shas habir. Shas habir is always following the shnas hashmita, always in the eighth year. When is there no longer any cucumbers on the farm? When are there no longer any cabbages? When are there no longer any oranges and fruits and so on? So when it comes to shnas habir, there's a mitzvah to be mafkir all of the food that you have. We'll get to that a little later. So if I buy peiros shviis from somebody, the money that I pay him becomes nitvas b'kedushas peiros shviis. He's supposed to use the money. Can't eat the money. He's supposed to use the money to buy food, steaks, potato chips, whatever he wants, some kind of food. He should eat that food before the shas habiur of whatever food I bought from him. If I bought pickles from him that had kedushas peiros shviis that grew there in Eretz Yisrael shnas hashmita, so cucumbers have a certain shas habiur. If I bought grapes, if I bought bananas, so grapes, bananas, each fruit, each vegetable has its own shas habiur. So the merchant who sold me the bananas or the oranges or the apples, whatever, who took money, he has to take that money, buy some kind of food, and eat that food up before the shas habiur of the fruit or the vegetable that he sold me. We know they're not going to do that. The merchants who are selling the peiros shviis are relying on het hamechira. If you have het hamechira, so what they did is they sold the farm to a non-Jew, and the whole het hamechira is based on the assumption that the farmers are permitted to do the work on the farm if it belongs to a non-Jew, based on passages in the Gemara. So there was in the 1500s, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Yosef Karo had on his bezdin, the Mabit was a member of his bezdin, and they had quite a few disputes together. They were on the same bezdin together, even though they had a lot of machlokes. So this was one of the disputes that they had. What's the din of peiros shviis that grow on the farm of an Anu? So there is a statement in the Torah, Kahanim ha'isa shabbos ha'aretz lachem le'ochlo, lachem ve'lo le'nochrim. But that's a question, what does the Torah's Kahana mean by that? So Rabbi Yosef Karo understood what it means is that peiros that grow on the farm that belong to a non-Jew do not have any kedushas peiros shviis. And they don't become hefker automatically either. Rabbi Yosef Karo understood the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says, v'hashviis tishmetena unetashto, that is a mitzvah on the farmer to declare the peiros as hefker. So if it's a Jew who owns a farm, he has 613 mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs is, he should declare the peiros as hefker. If the farm belongs to a non-Jew, so the non-Jew only has seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. He does not have a mitzvah that he has to declare the peiros as hefker. So the peiros that grow on the farm of a non-Jew will not have kedushas peiros shviis because of the pasuk lachem lo le'nochrim. And the nachri, the non-Jewish owner of the farm, does not have a mitzvah to be mafke his peiros, and they don't become hefker automatically. And the Mabit disagreed on both points. The Mabit disagreed, he said, that peiros that grow on the farm of a non-Jew do have kedushas peiros shviis. And he disagreed, and he felt that because they have kedushas peiros shviis, it becomes hefker automatically, even though the owner of the farm is a non-Jew. He doesn't have to keep any more than the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. But here it doesn't depend on whether he's going to be mafkerit. The halacha says that the peiros shviis are the fruits that grow on the farm in Eretz Yisrael have a kedushas peiros shviis, become hefker automatically. Well, the Gemara has an expression, Avkaita de Malka, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Melech Malchei Amlochim declared that the peiros are hefker. So the Mabit was of the opinion that even the peiros that grow on the farm of an Anju also have kedushas peiros shviis. So the farmers who rely on the het hamechira sell the farm to an Anju, and they assume, these are the poskim from the 1600s, they're working on the assumption that because the farm doesn't belong to a Jewish person, and the whole din of Shemitah today is only midrabbanan, that's based on a Gemara, the Shemitah today is only the Rabbanan, because most of the world Jewish population doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if the whole din of Shemitah is only midrabbanan, and the farm is owned by a non-Jew, then the whole din of Shemitah doesn't apply, so the farmers are allowed to do the work. That's the heter, the weak heter, that most of the poskim did not accept. So now, step number two, because the farm was sold to a non-Jew, so Rabbi Yosef Karo was of the opinion, that was the practice in Eretz Yisrael. Most of Eretz Yisrael had the practice like Rabbi Yosef Karo. Peiros that grew on a non-Jewish farm do not have kedushas peiros shviis, so you don't have any of these restrictions. So you have many people in Eretz Yisrael don't want to get involved in the violations of le'ochel of lo lehepsid. You have to be careful not to throw out the leftover vegetables. And when you give children food, the children always tzipachka the food. So that's a question. Are you allowed to feed children perishviyas? Because you know they're going to waste half of the food. So the poskim say that's permissible. That's the normal way children eat. They tzipachka everything. You give them cookies, you give them fruits, vegetables, whatever. They're going to eat half of it, and half of it is going to be thrown out. So that's not, they assume, that's not a violation of liyachla v'lo lehefse. But still, it's quite a tircha to be careful, to save everything, not to throw the leftover vegetables into the garbage like you would do on a normal day. So that's why many people in Eretz Yisrael don't want to buy peiros that have a kedushas peiros shviyas. So they would prefer to rely on the Beis Yosef that whatever grew on the farm of a non-Jew does not have kedushas peiros shviyas, so you don't have any restrictions. So that's why you have the frumah, who consider themselves very frum, the machmirim, they'll buy yavul nochri. They'll buy peiros that grew on an Arab farm. Peiros that grew on an Arab farm. So that's every 7 years. They always write up in the newspapers that people think that they're buying yavul nochri. They think that they're buying peiros that grew on a non-Jewish farm, and it does not have kedushas peiros shviyas. But if you look carefully, a lot of times you'll see the truck from a non-observant kibbutz delivering the peiros from a Jewish farm, selling it to the Arabs, and the Arabs just turn around and sell it to these Fruma Jews from their Sharim, making believe as if it grew on the Arab farm. And it didn't grow on the Arab farm, it grew on the Jewish farm. So that's problem number one. Who says that Yivul Nachri is really Yivul Nachri? Maybe it's really Yivul, maybe it's produce that grew on a Jewish farm. Problem number two is, you're supporting your friendly Arabs. Is that mitzvah to support the Arabs? They're going to take your money and they're going to shoot you, they're going to kill you with that money. So that's very questionable, whether this really constitutes Amidus Chassidus to be machmer, to buy dafke yivul nochri, and not to buy the hetem mechira food. But the peiros, if the farmers really truly sold their farm to the non-Jew, so then the peiros that grow on that farm are basically yivul nochri, and the psak hamakubla most of Eretz Yisrael was, like the Beis Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that there's no kedushas peiros shviyas on peiros that grew on a non-Jewish farm. So whenever you buy het mechira, so you don't have any problem of worrying about throwing out the leftover food. The shaila is though, but there's an issue of lifnei iver. If I'm paying money to the merchant who's selling me the peiros, so the merchant is working on the assumption that there's no there's a het mechira is valid, and the peiros don't have any kedushas peiros shviyas. The question is, if the consumers want machmer, they don't want to rely on het mechira, so to what extent are you not relying on het mechira? So the Chazon Ish came up with a whopper of a chumra that runs as follows. We have a din in the Gemara, ein shaliach ledvar aver. If I send a shaliach to murder someone, and he goes and he does a job, so I don't get the death penalty, he gets the death penalty. Shama Hazokam is of the opinion, Yesh Shaliach Ledvar Avera. If they can prove that I sent a Shliach, I paid this person to murder someone, they give me the death penalty, and we don't accept his opinion. We pass an Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera. So what does that mean, Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera? What if a Kohen sends a Shliach to be Mekadosh HaGrusha on his behalf? So you say, Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera, the Kohen doesn't get the Avera of marrying the Grusha. But you say, Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera, so the Kohen is not married to the Grusha? But he's saying, no, the Avera of marrying a Grusha doesn't go back to the Mishalech, but the Kiddushin is Chal. So everybody knows that Tosfos and Bava Metzia and Daf Yud has two opinions about this. So the Chazon Ish is working with that opinion that Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera means the whole Shlichus is Batel Mevutel. So the Kohen sends a Shlich to be Mekadosh a Grusha on his behalf, he doesn't get an Avera. How come he doesn't get an Avera? Because the Kiddushin is not Chal. That's why he doesn't get the Avera. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion, many poskim are of the opinion like that, that you're not permitted to sell Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. We have a pasuk in Chumash Devarim where it says loisachon. It's a difficult pasuk. Loisachon, I'm not sure exactly what the word loisachon means. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof has three levels of interpretation on the pasuk, and all three are accepted in Yerideya halacha lemaisa. So one pshat loisachon is miloshen chanoya. Lesitan lehem chanoya bikarka. You're not permitted to sell any part of Eretz Yisrael to the non-Jews. So that was the opposition to the whole, that was one of the oppositions to the whole Het Mechira in the first place. You want to avoid violation of Shemitah de Rabbanon, you don't want to violate Dinam of Shemitah de Rabbanon, the farmer shouldn't do the work. So you go, the whole din of Shemitah today is only with the Rabbanim, because most of the world Jewish population doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael now. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that Shemitah is only Deraisa, but it can lead up to Yovel, and Yovel is only Deraisa. Yovel only applies when you have a gross Midrar Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshvehu. This man should call Yoshvehu Aleo, when the Roiv of the world Jewish population is located in Eretz Yisrael. So today there's no Yovel at all. We count 777. We don't count 50-50. We don't count the blank year for Yovel. So because we know in advance that the Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, so we pass from the halacha that the Shemitah is only midirabbanan. So the So that's why, because the Shemitah today is only midirabbanan, so that's why they came up with this whole het mechira. If you sell a field to a non-Jew based on the Gemara, so then the laws of Shemitah don't apply. That's what they claim. So the others disagreed, and they said, you want to avoid violation of a din of Shemitah midirabbanan, the farmer shouldn't violate the laws of Avodas HaKarka. So you sell a farm to a non-Jew, you violate an Issa Deraisa. You're running away from an Issa Derabbanan, you fall into an Issa Deraisa. So that's why many held that there's no, you shouldn't do, even if it's valid, even if it's true, that if you sell a farm to a non-Jew, the laws of Avodas HaKarka don't apply. But what kind of a cheshbon is that? You violate an Issa Deraisa of Los Sechanim in order to avoid violation of a Din Derabbanan. So the Gdolim in the 1600s, it's found that Gdolim came up with this hetter. They said there's no violation of Los Sechanim. The reason that they gave is based on the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says one is not in violation of Los Sechanim unless he sells the farm to a non-Jew permanently. So they, in the 1600s, and then the late 1800s, when they first started reinstituting the Hetter Mechira, so they only sold the farm to the Arab, to the non-Jew for 14 months. He sold this starting from Elul before Shemitah till Tishrei after Shemitah for the 12 months of Shemitah, a month before and a month after, that's all. So since he only sold the farm to a non-Jew for a short period of time, he didn't sell it Olamis, he didn't sell it permanently, so they felt that based on the Sefer HaChinuch there's no violation of Lois Sechanim. Other Gedolim gave other reasons why there's no violation of Lois Sechanim. The Avnei Nezer writes, the Avnei Nezer thought that the Hetter Mechir was valid. So he writes, he doesn't think that there's a violation of Lo Sechanim. Lo Sechanim is when I'm selling the farm to the Nochri, L'toivus HaNochri, for the good of the non-Jew. Here, the Nochri is doing me a favor to enable the Jewish farmers to do Avodas HaKarka, that they should be able to make a parnasa, so the Goy is kind enough to buy the farm from the Jew and then to sell it back to us. So he's doing us a favor. So the Gemara has another level of interpretation of Lo Sechanim, Miloshen Chinam. One is not permitted to give a Matnas Chinam to a Nochri. So the issue of Lois Sechanim, not to give Chanoya Bikarka, is along the lines of Matan Schinim. You're not allowed to sell a farm to a Nochri if it's L'toivus HaNochri. But the Avnei Nezer says if it's L'toivus HaYisrael, then he thinks there's no issue of Lois Sechanim. But the Chazon Ish didn't accept these suggestions. He thought that there clearly is a biblical violation of Lois Sechanim. You're not allowed to sell a farm to a non-Jew. So he said if the farmers would have sold their farm directly to the non-Jew, then you say, okay, we violated the Nisa Lo Sechanim, but the sale is valid. But Lamai said they don't sell it directly. For many years, now they changed it a little bit, but for many years they would always appoint someone from the Rabbanut as a shliach to sell a farm on their behalf to the non-Jew. So the Chazon Ish Taina, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveir, he said the whole sale is not valid. The sale is not valid and the farm still belongs to the Jews. The farm still belongs to the Jews, so there's nothing changed. Everything is the same as it always was. This is a chumrah from the Chazon Ish. This is not the generally accepted opinion. As far as Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira, the Nei Reb Yehuda has the famous tshuva where he discusses, it happened to be, a couple was married, it happened that the wife was a niece of the Nei Reb Yehuda. They write in history books, they're not sure why the Nei Reb Yehuda didn't mention this in the tshuva that he was related. Why he wrote a tshuva 15 years after the story happened, it was no longer relevant. But the story was, a fellow decided he's going to divorce his wife, and she said she doesn't want to accept the get. She was a faithful wife. He had no cause to give his wife. He wanted to divorce his wife, marry a younger girl. He was bored with his wife. So he didn't have the heart to give his wife a get, bal korcha, because a cherem der abene gershim. It's not a nice thing to do, even without a cherem der abene gershim. So he appointed a shliach, a hooligan, a Jewish hooligan, and he said, give the get to my wife against her wishes. So that's an aveira. So the Nei Reb Yehuda paskens, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira, the get is not chal. And the husband is still married to the first wife, and he's not allowed to take himself another wife, and he's still mechuyev to support the first wife, because the get was never chal. So the Nadi Bihuda has the tshuva in his sefer. Ein shalicha dvar aver means that the whole shlichus is not chal, and the get is not chal. Then the next simon in the sefer, in Chelek Ebenezi, has a tshuva from his mechutin, Rabbi Tzela Hamburger, who disagrees with him. And he says, no, ein shalich ledvar aver means the aver does go back to me, but it does mean that the get is not chal. The get is chal. The get is chal. And we don't punish him with the chem de Rabbeinu Geshen, because he didn't do the aver in person. He didn't give the get bal koch. So Rab Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rab Chaim, that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik said, al piyoshe, that Adi Behuda is certainly right. The guy gives his wife a get bal koch. That's scandalous. We should bop him over the head. We should say he has no right to marry anyone else. Al piyoshe, that Adi Behuda is right. But the halacha, the pashtus says that he's not right. The halacha, the pashtus is like Rabbi Tzela Hamburger, like the other opinion in Tosfos. That ein shalich advar ver doesn't mean that the shlichus doesn't take effect. But that's what the Chazon Ish thought. Chazon Ish was of the opinion if you appoint a shliach to sell a farm to a non-Jew, you're clearly in violation of lois hachanim, and therefore the whole shlichus is batal mevutal, so the whole sale is not valid, and everything is as if no mechira took place. In recent years, every seventh year, when they do the het to mechira, so they always improve it. They always add on another chumra and another chumra. So in recent years, I think this time or last time, maybe a third shmita ago also, the Rabbanut introduced that you appoint a member of the Rabbanut to sell your farm for you, and you also sign another, that's one shtar hashoah, you're appointing a shliach from the Rabbanut to sell your farm. Then you sign another document that says, I am selling my farm directly to Pliny the Nochri, whom they take out in advance. So you don't really rely, you don't have to rely on the shliach selling the farm. He's going to sell it also, but you're selling it directly with the shtar that you're making up. So that's to satisfy this issue of the Chazon Ish. That you shouldn't say ein shalich ledvar. So getting back again, there is a din. I'm not. Let's say you have Paris that have kedushas Paris shvius. If I'm going to pay money for the Paris, so the fellow who's going to take the money has to use that money to buy other food and eat the food before the shas habir of the pickles or the vegetables that he sold me, whatever bananas or the oranges that he sold me, which he clearly is not going to do. He's going to put the money in the bank. He's not going to take all the money that he gets and buy other food and eat it before the Shas Habir. So the reason why I'm not allowed to, I know he's going to do the Avera. It's a violation of Lifnei Velisei Mikshol on my part. I'm going to pay him money. I know that he's going to put the money in the bank. He's not going to buy food. So it's an Isa Lifnei Iver. So in Lifnei Iver, we have a big machloikis haposkim. What if there's a machloikis about something? Traditionally, what they discuss is smoking on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat. Is there a prohibition to smoke on Tisha B'Av? Is that also considered like eating, or is not considered like eating? So there's a big machloikas. So the shaila is, I don't smoke bichlal. Let's say I'm machmer, I don't smoke on Tisha B'Av. I don't smoke on Tisha B'Av. The other fellow asks me for a cigarette on Tisha B'Av. He follows his rabbi says, you are allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av. Am I in violation of Lifnei Iver if I give him a cigarette to smoke, a cigar, whatever, on Tisha B'Av, because he's following a shita hamikilo? He's following a legitimate Paisik who says that it's mutter. So that's the issue over here. So it's usually assumed, like the Shah Melech, that there's no Lifnei Iver. Even though I follow the shita that there's something wrong over here, but the one to whom I'm giving the money, I'm buying the Paris from a merchant. The merchant is relying on the mechira. So true, the Chazon Ish holds the whole sale is not valid and the Paris have Kedushas Paris Shvius, and so on and so forth. But there are legitimate poskim who say, there are minority poskim who say that the sale is valid, and there's no kedushas perish shvius on this. And the money is, the perish shvius are not terps and dvam over here, because it's not kedushas perish shvius. So that's why it's usually assumed that there's no issue. There's no issue of not to buy, not to give money to buy perish shvius, even though I wanted, the consumer wants to be machmer, that none of these kulas are valid. But there's no lifnei iver. Whenever he's relying on his shita, he's relying on a posuk, a legitimate posuk, who says that there's no issue over here. We mentioned before that in the 1500s there was a dispute between the Beis Yosef. There were quite a few disputes, but they sat on the same bezin together with all the machlokes. So one of the disputes was whether there's kedushas peres shvius and peres that grew on the farm of a non-Jew. So in most of Eretz Yisrael, the psak hamukubal was like Rabbi Yosef Kara. In recent years, the Chazon Ish made a whole tumult, and he felt that the mabit was more correct. He thought that the more correct is that there is kedushas peres shvius, even a peres that grow on the farm of a non-Jew. So that's why the Chazon Ish was very involved in building up the city Bnei Brak. When he moved to Bnei Brak, there was hardly anybody there, and now it grew to a big Torah center, and they follow many of the Psukim, most of the Psukim of the Chazon Ish. They consider the Chazon Ish as Mor D'Asra, even though he passed away so many years ago. So that's why the practice today is in Bnei Brak and the areas around Bnei Brak, we follow the Chazon Ish as Chumrah, namely to be choshish for the Shitas Mabit, that even if you're going to buy Yevul Nachri, even if you're going to buy Peris that clearly grew in the form of a non-Jew, it does have Kedusha's Peris Shvi'is, and Vaita, you can't throw it out in the garbage. You have to treat it properly. In recent years also, there were Yechidei Sgula in Yerushalayim who also had that Chumrah, to be choshish for the Chazon Ish, to be choshish for the Mabit, but on the main, that was not the practice. This halacha, that if you buy Perish Shvi'is and you give money, it's Teifas Damov. This, the Gemara says in the last Perek on Avodah Zarah, that only applies when you have Zeh Tachazeh. If I bought Perish Shvi'is and I didn't eat them up yet, and then I give the money, what if I buy Perish Shvi'is, I eat it up, I buy it on credit, I eat it up, and then after I ate it, then I pay the money? So the Gemara says explicitly, then it's not Teifas Damov. It's only if you have a Zeh Tachazeh. So that's what they quote from the Chazon Ish, if you pay by check, then there is no Zeh Tachazeh. The check means I have a right to draw against the yeshiva's account. What does yeshiva have? They have a right to draw against the balabatim who donate money. And what do they have? They have a right to draw against their customers who pay them. Everybody, it's all in the luft. There's nothing really there. There is no Zeh Tachazeh. So that's what the quote from the Chazon Ish, if you pay for the pair of shvi'is by check, then there's no issue of shvi'is tafeses damem. But we said, even if you pay by cash, I'm not in violation of Lifnei with the Sikta Mikshel, because the other one is relying on their Shita HaMikila. There's no Kedusha's Perish Shvi'is over here. But if you want to be Choshish for the Lifnei Iver also, so they pay by check. That'll solve the problem. There was a Machlokes. What if you pay in paper money? That was a big issue. The Chasam Sofer has tshuvas about that. If you pay in coins, coins is kesef, so you have a Zeh Tachazeh. If you give paper money, so there's a contradiction, a different tshuvas of the Chazon Ish. Some of the tshuvas he writes as if paper money is a legal tender, but there's nothing there. The government used to have bars of silver, bars of gold, whatever. It was representative value. So there were those poskim who thought that paper money is also not considered kesef. Paper money is considered shtoris. But that's Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan didn't hold like that. This is Shiva's Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan held that paper money is considered kesef. So the paying in paper money wouldn't solve the problem. But if you pay by check, that'll for sure solve the problem. Let me say a word about biur. The din is each fruit and vegetable has a shas habiur. Means when it's no longer available on the farm for the chaya and the behema, then you're not allowed to eat what you have at home. So what do you do when it comes to Shnas Habir? So the din is that you're supposed to be mafka when it's about to come to Shnas Habir. You're supposed to be mafka whatever you have. And then you have to wait till after the Shnas Habir. They give you a date, whenever the Shnas Habir is, on every fruit and the vegetable. And then if it's still around, more correct is to take it out of your house. Let's say I have bottles of wine that are perish shvi'is. So more correct is to take the carton of the bottles of wine out into the street or into the hallway in an apartment building and to declare that it's hefka in the presence of three people. The Gemara says, min ha-Torah, you can be mafke beno lebein atzma, but mid rabbana, the Gemara in the Durham says, they made a takana, you have to be mafke in the presence of three people, one who will be able to be zeichem and a hefka, and two have to be kosher la'edus, they shouldn't be related to each other, they shouldn't be related to either me or the one who's going to be Zeichem and a Hefker, that they should be able to testify that I was really Mafkirit and he had the right to grab it. So you have to be Mafkir, your Perish Shvi'is, before the Shas Habir comes, and then you have to leave it Hefker till after the day of the Shas Habir, and then if no one took it, then you can be Zeichem back, you can take it back for yourself. They are selling on the market, there are three types of vegetables that they'll be selling. They'll be selling Yevul Nachri, fruits that grew on an Arab farm. Then they'll be selling heter mechira, fruits that pears of vegetables, fruits of vegetables that grew on a Jewish farm where they relied on the heter mechira. And then they'll be selling oitza bezin. What is oitza bezin all about? So the Oitzer Bezen only works on fruits. It doesn't work on... Oitzer Bezen means they're not selling anything to an Arab. The farm is owned by Jews. So whatever fruits grow have Kedushas Peirushvis. And the Torah says you can eat it. Maybe it's a mitzvah to eat it. It's permissible. Oitzer Shabbos Os Lechem Liochla. You're allowed to eat the fruits that grow on the trees. That's not a problem. But the problem is one of the dinim of Kedushas Peirushvis Liochla Oitzer Shabbos Os Lechem Liochla Liochla Velo Leschore. He's not allowed to make big business with pear trees. So let's say the farmer has apple trees. So he sells hundreds of thousands of dollars of apples. So if he picked up a couple of apples and he sells me for $1.50 worth of apples, that's permissible. That's not called schoira. Schoira is if he's making regular business, making a parnasa off of it. So there's a din, liochla v'lo l'schoira, he's not allowed to make big business. So the Tanoim, the Tosefta describes this din of Oitzer Bezen. The Tanoim saw that many of the Balabatim are violating the laws of Shemitah. So they made a takone. Although you're not allowed to make big business with the pay, you're not allowed to sell the apples to make $100,000 like you would normally do in the other 6 years, but you are permitted, there are certain avodas hakarka that you are permitted to do in Shnas HaShemitah. The Mishnah said, what is the farmer allowed to do? So let's say the farmer has fruits that have kedushas perishvis, and he didn't violate anything. There's no nevad, there's no mishum. He didn't violate anything. So this is normally the Mishnah say this would be done under the auspices of Bezdin. Bezdin would supervise to make sure the farmer didn't violate anything. Then the farmer is allowed to charge for the fact that he's doing a little work, whatever he's allowed to do. He can charge for the labor. He's not entitled to make money, to make profit over selling the pears. Normally he sells the pears and he makes a profit. He makes $100,000 every year. Shnas HaShemitah, not allowed to make profit, but he's allowed to charge for the labor that he did. Then he had to drive it to Yerushalayim. He lives far away. Then he had to pay someone. Someone has to stand in the store and sell the pears. So he's entitled to get paid for his labor, and the one who drives the truck is entitled to get paid for his labor. The one who harvests it is allowed to charge money for their labor, all the labor that you're allowed to do. And then it's going to turn out that the apples should cost one-third the price that they normally cost, because you're not making any profit over here, you're just paying everybody for their labor. So that's called Oitzer Bezen. In the days of the Tanaim, they saw that the farmers were violating the laws of Shemitah, so they instituted this Oitzer Bezen, that the Bezen should supervise that they're not charging profit, they're not making profit, l'ochla v'lo l'schora, they're only charging for the labor and for the driving and for the storekeeper and so on. In the last few Shemitahs, the last 5-10 Shemitahs, they tried to do Oitzer Bezen, and it came out that the apples cost more than they cost through the other 6 years. How could that be? The answer is it was done by Yeshiva Bochum, by Batlanim. So they took a guy who does not know how to drive a truck. They didn't have the regular driver. A Yeshiva guy does not know how to drive. They had other people. Everything is done so batlanish. It turns out that that all the fruits that they're selling cost the same or sometimes more than it would cost during the other 6 years. So that's scandalous. The whole idea of Oitzer Bezen is that it should cost less. So this year, a small group of American Balabatim decided to subsidize this program. And they're having an Oitzer Bezen where they're going to see to it that the price is going to be one-third the normal price. And if there's going to be a hefset moment, they're going to pay the differential. The people, the Balabatim from America, are going to subsidize it to make sure that it should be a lower price. The Rambam never quotes this din of Oitzer Bezen, so the commentaries interpret that the Rambam understood that that was a takana that was made bizman ha-tanoim because it was necessary in that generation because they saw everybody was violating the laws of Shemitah. But in the later generations, when it was no longer necessary, so the whole institution of Oitzer Bezen fell into disuse. So that's where the Rambam never quotes it. But the other poskim all say we don't follow that Rambam. We say that Oitzer Bezen is still alive and kicking. And then Rav Kook, he always used to say like that, all the Rabbanim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Al Yashiv, they all recommended that the best thing to do is to have an Oitzer Bezen to supervise that they should only charge for the Melachas HaMutaras. If you bought Paris that were Oitzer Bezen, so then there's a question, do you still have a din of Shas HaBir? Let's say you'll have a bottle of wine and it says on the bottle of wine, Oitzer Bezen. So do you still have a din? You have to be mafka the peris before the Shas HaBir, and then mafka in the presence of the, and then take it back after the date of the Shas HaBir. It has to be hefka during the Shas HaBir, at the moment of the beer. So that's a question. Rav Shlaim Zalman in his first sefer wrote, he doesn't think there's a din of biur if you're relying on Eitz Bezdin. The whole idea of biur is that we should spread everything evenly. Everyone should have a chance. Everything should be hefker, and no one should make profit on it. So if it's done under the auspices of the Bezdin, so no one's making any profit. Fine. So then there's no din of biur. And then in his latest Svarim, he wrote Natson. I think that's the common practice in Eretz Yisrael today, that even on Eitz HaBezdin, they're also careful to be mafke when it comes to Shas HaBir, to be mafke before the date of each fruit and vegetable and so on. There's another din of Svichim. I'll have to run through it briefly. There is a dispute among the Tanaim regarding vegetables that grow by themselves. No one violated the laws of Shemitah. Sometimes vegetables grow by themselves. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there's a biblical prohibition. It's an issa deraisa. You're not allowed to eat vegetables that grew on their own. Grain of vegetables. Fruits that grow on the tree, that says, Nechumis vash and Shabbos harach lachem liyachu. That is permissible to eat. But if it's vegetables or grains, Rabbi Akiva felt that it's an issa deraisa. We don't paskan like Rabbi Akiva. We paskan. It's only an issa derabbanan. It's only a prohibition with the Rabbanim because we don't believe the farmer. He's going to say it grew by itself. Maybe he's fooling us. Maybe he really violated the din. So the Rambam writes that this din, the Rabbanim of Sfichim, the vegetables or the grains that grew by themselves may not be eaten. That's only if it grew on a Jewish farm. It grew on a farm of a non-Jew. There's no prohibition of Sfichim. So that's what we're relying on. When you buy vegetables from the store, let's say, Heta Mechira vegetables, even if no one violated the din, that's a din of Sfichim Arasa. So the answer is no. They sold the farm to a non-Jew. So even though the Jews were doing the malacha, and you don't hold from a het to mechirat, they were violating an iser, doing the malacha Shemitah, but still, the Rambam wrote the halacha that the Sfichim that grew, vegetables, the grains that grew on a farm that belonged to a non-Jew, there's no prohibition of Sfichim. So that's what we rely on. So these are the three options when you'll go visit your children in Eretz Yisrael. You'll have some of your children will be buying Eitz HaBezdin, which has Kedushas Peiros Shviyis, so that you have to be careful not to throw the stuff out in the garbage. If you're going to leave something over, you have to leave it till it becomes Nifsal Me'achila, and you have to be careful with all the Kedushas Peiros Shviyis, all the other dinim. Some of your children will be buying Het HaMechira, and strictly speaking, the Het HaMechira is, we paskan Nikra Din, there's no Isra on Meshumer, and there's no Isra on Neva. Nikra Din is really Mutter. People want to make Chumras, to be choshish for minority opinions, but it's not right to make a chumrah at the expense of somebody else, to go not to eat by your brother, not to eat by your children. It's an atam. And other people will be buying yivul nachri, other people will be buying peiros that grew on the farm of a non-Jew, and then you have your question, are you doing right? Is that secheldik to support our Arab neighbors who are going to use your money to turn around and shoot us? We should all have all the brachas in the Torah, should all be mekuyim, everything should grow, and the schus of observing the laws of Shemitah.